I'm Charles Breton.
And I'm Chris Henson. And together we are
a Jew
and a Gentile
walk into a bar
mitzvah.
Wishing I could change the things that I screwed up. What am I supposed to do? I can't give up. You know I can't give up.
Wow, we are at episode 95.
Fuck.
Whoa.
Wow, we are 5 from 100. So welcome to our 95th podcast, where you come to find the theology, cigars, whiskey, and F-bombs.
Already gave them the F-bomb.
We're all here. We've got the Jew, the Gentile, and the ampersand of reason.
And likely a lot of background noise from my dog's wife, child. Pretty much anybody.
So normal podcast.
So if you're playing along at home with the Jew and the Gentile, the bingo game.
You've already
one of our dogs barks.
You got the F-bomb square, which is the center that everybody gets regardless.
Would be funnier if we had a card on there, a dog barks in Charles's house.
Yeah.
We could do it you have to get all these spaces covered to win a prize.
And they would never get that
one. We could do that.
Because Gail would unbeknownst to us, bring home a puppy or something.
Yeah. Or maybe Cigar Mama let Tank visit just for one podcast.
Hadn't seen Tank in a while.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that. Speaking of prizes,
Black Label event it.
Yeah.
Just to die for. I'm thinking about sending Stacy texts, I'm holding the cutter that I won.
Yeah. Ooh, you love living dangerously, don't you?
I would like to see this cutter again. It's pretty, so I want, Charles won too, Helena. We both racked up.
Yeah.
Oh.
I got a 5-pack, including, I think the three of the three cigars I'd smoked that day, plus one or two of the.
Did you say three cigars you smoked that day?
Was that good?
I had,
Finished with the Bishop's Blend.
Ooh. Wow.
Had the Bishop's Blend, Santa Muerta. Did I do the Serpent Rainbow? I can't remember if I smoked that one or not.
You did or not.
Anyway. Oh, no. It was the torpedoed perfecto shaped.
The Deliverance.
Deliverance.
Yeah.
I knew that'd do something with Ned Beatty getting fucked like a pig.
Yeah.
Does it look anything like Ned Beatty or a pig?
No.
Can't mention the Deliverance and not say that.
Of course.
And so also, Helena, I won those 5 cigars, 2 posters, which I have no idea what I want to do with those because I don't have the space for it. And Cigar Mom already has them.
You can't put them up at work or something?
Yeah, they're not going to let me put them. No. We put a clock up in our office and they took it down and put back up this, sanctioned background art.
Oh, so, Lord.
It's ridiculous.
I couldn't function that way.
Well, I'm never in my office anyway. I mean, I have a desk. I don't have an office. Right. It's fine.
Then you hang them in the rear windows of the car, one on each side.
I don't have my car right now. I had to get that's why I'm in a cranky mood, too. Had to go deal with an auto shop and a rental place, which moved at the speed of church. Go ahead and plan on being here all day, church. Mm. Not Methodist. Ooh. If this is a Methodist enterprise, I'd have been in and out 15 minutes tops.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the coup win, though, for me is it's a Black Label company cigar cutter, Zycar. I think the retail value on it's $85. I know this because Cigar Mom told me. That's why I don't have it. It's $85. But it's got skulls on it. It's a V-cut.
Oh, she's so jealous.
But I know what I know what I know what
to cut a bitch.
I know what Trucker Jeff Holt stocks his wife's humidor with. And that works on several levels.
Yes.
I'm thinking about it, Charles, taking offers
okay
for the cutter. Because basically if I ever bring it out around, she's just gonna fucking cut me and take it.
Well, she'll give you all of her My Father cigars.
She's going to give me those anyway because they apparently are rolled near a sewage plant. So
yeah, so she can't smoke them anymore.
Yes.
All she smells is that.
We'll
take them off her hands.
Nuggets, that'll go ahead.
Yeah.
We get to see Trey. We hadn't seen him in ages, our sort of adopted nephew, and we gave him holy hell.
He committed blasphemy.
God, he did.
There's all this really good food.
Cuban, Nicaraguan, Caribbean.
Caribbean cuisine, flank steaks with chimichurri, barbecue chicken, chicharrones, lechoneta, all this great stuff.
And what's carnitas.
He goes...
Black beans, rice.
Chifles, yeah. He goes in to the kitchen and walks out with two pieces of pizza
that he had for lunch.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So we were teasing like, this is a guy that puts ketchup on a hot dog. And then I was like, oh, he probably puts pineapple on that pizza. And then the ultimate coup was, no, two. One, I said that you're probably one of those guys that claps when the plane lands, which Mills loved.
Mm.
And then my ultimate one was, in fact, when I said, like, you probably get out of the shower to pee. So fun was had by all but Trey.
Yes.
Fun was had
but
by all.
Jeff offered me some things for that cutter, too.
Oh.
Okay. Hey, guys, keep talking. I'll be right back.
All right. Yes.
We should say something really shitty while she's not paying attention.
Well, just tell her we did.
Right.
Yeah.
Just so, because you're like, what did you guys say? Which, so when she gets back on, we'll just start laughing.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say what Jeff offered me because, you know,
okay,
I'm a gentleman. And I didn't want it from any of them. So I've got to find an app that'll let me type like those hostage letters where it's things right, cut out of a newspaper. If you would like to see this cutter in your house.
So I've got an idea for...
Why don't you go ahead.
I got an idea for our 100th episode.
You do?
Yeah. Just put on an all call to our follower. What do they want to hear us talk about? Is there something they want us to... that we haven't talked about yet? Something we've talked about that they want us to update?
Did you just put this out as a tweet or something? Or?
No, I'm thinking about doing that. Putting it out on a...
Oh, so you haven't Facebook. Done it yet.
No. I'm running it by y'all first. You know, and see what kind of suggestions we get. And if we take their suggestions, we'll give them a shout out on the podcast.
Wow. Instant internet fame.
Right. You know.
Do you want to go ahead and review the
famous,
cigar?
They'll be famous in Cambodia. Well, actually, I was going to mention the rest of our
holiday sponsors. In Cambodia, Dead Kennedys. Sorry, yeah. I don't know where to reference that. Anyway.
Well, you already mentioned Top Leaf is one of our sponsors.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
We also have Men of the Beard Oil. And with Wild Goose coming up soon, I'll be getting a new batch of that. Virgil Cane Rye, the official rye whiskey of Ajuna Gentile.
Though we did cheat on them Saturday.
Yeah, I mean.
It was good. We had blackberry whiskey
good,
punch.
But,
yeah, that was good.
But it was so much better. Oh, it was delicious. But,
right.
You know, but that wasn't rye.
Oh, no.
Pipe and Pint.
Two locations. Thurston
humidor.
And Winston and Spring Garden and Greensboro.
Mm-hmm. Best humidor in the Southeast. And Four Saints Brewing Company Asheboro. And they also host our Theology on Tap, Drinking Religiously, the second Tuesday of every month.
I can't believe you just said that about Helena earlier.
Well, you know... It had to be said.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh,
well, I mean, even by Jewish standards, that was awful.
Yeah,
she leaves the podcast to go shit or something, comes back.
Well, just slap the bag, all right? You
know? Slap the bag.
I was slapping the bag. That's
slapping the bag.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've had some good cigars.
Did we get our sponsors?
Yeah, got all of our sponsors in, because we got some good cigars at Top Leaf at the Black Label Company and Black Work Studio event. So that's what I've been smoking for the last week.
Same here. Well, yeah, since Saturday.
Monday. So do you want to review one that you smoked or something?
Yeah, man. I'll go at it. Okay. Hopefully I'm not taking the one. Yeah, it doesn't matter. We'll just say it twice.
Yeah. Here's. Yeah.
So I'm gonna review one that we've had before, but I was so glad to see it available again. Black Label Cigars Bishop's Blend, which is wicked because the label has got like a skull wearing a bishop's mitre hat, and it's just it's all things badass, really. Now that would be the T-shirt right there. I mean, if you're gonna get one, or if I was
to get the Bishop's Blend T-shirt,
right? So it's Ecuadorian, right? They probably do. Yeah. If you would like to see this cutter again, find me a Bishop Blend T-shirt in fat boy size. So Ecuadorian Maduro wrapper paired with an Ecuadorian Habano binder all around a filler of Nicaraguan and Pennsylvania broadleaf and Connecticut broadleaf. So I forget with all the taste in there that those two are part of the filler, which I don't usually put with strong, you know, because this was the third of three cigars day.
Those are usually used for wrappers.
Right.
Yeah.
It stood up after two cigars prior. So the tasting notes include cocoa, black pepper, earth, and mineral, and a little bit of citrus, which I will have to say after having two cigars before that was not the strongest note, not as much as I remember the first time I smoked it, but a great cigar, a good price point too. Charles, Helena? What are you going to...
Well, Helena's no longer at Lent, so give her a shot here.
But you know what is I did not do is I forgot to save my wrapper, so I don't remember what I smoked.
Ooh. I feel like this is not the first time she's said this.
Yeah.
It's but just like, this time there's not like a big bag of Cheetos with her. Or,
but it's true. I smoked something with you guys like 2 weeks ago, and it was a good cigar. But I can't remember what it was. And, you know, I normally put the wrapper in my book. And for some reason, it's not in there. So I can't review it because I don't know what it was that I had.
Well, see, I had the Cabinet 5 last time I smoked with you.
Yeah, you were smoking the Cabinet 5. But I was...
Also available at Top Leaf Cigar.
Mm-hmm. Cigar Mom would know what I smoked because she's the one that suggested it to me. But
You had the Leaf by Jack. James.
James. Yeah.
Leaf by James. Okay.
Yes. Hold on. Well, I'll do mine while you find your review.
Okay.
Gorgeous cigar also available at Top Leaf.
Thank you. Because like I said, I normally have the wrapper and that's how I remember what it was.
Well, it's tough to keep that label because you've got
it's biodegradable.
It's biodegradable. It's tobacco stem.
Yeah. It like came apart while I was trying to take it off the cigar.
Well, I did one of the Black Label factory exclusives. This is one that you can only get actually from the factory when you're there. And it was the Black Label Neon Tiger.
Is that the barber pole one?
Yes. And this one, they do them. There's three different tobaccos, Maduro, Ecuadorian Habano, and Candela. And they do, it's not pure barber pole that there's an equal amount of each. One is the main wrapper, and then there are strips of the other two running through it. The one I had was primarily the Maduro with the Habano and Candela and a closed Candela foot. It's the same binder because the Ecuadorian Habano, because that's the only binder they use. And they won't tell you what the filler is.
Probably tobacco.
I think so. And certainly long leaf. But
what were the taste notes? We could probably
Well, you can guess some of them. It starts out pepper, and more pepper. That's all you taste when you light it.
It could be a number of Dominican.
But then it goes into leather, earth, and chocolate.
Nicaraguan.
Oh, there's definitely Nicaraguan, but there's also some
Floral. Plants in Nicaragua, too.
Yeah, but they also use Dominican and Ecuadorian. But they also do some blends with a Cuban pilato, and that gives it a little bit of floral, and that was in there also.
It's a sweetie kind of
thing. There's definitely some Lajero. There's definitely some piloto in there. Fortunately, because it wasn't primarily the Candela wrapper, there's only that slight bit of grassiness that the Candela gives, but it's that sweet, like spring grass kind of taste. Absolutely fantastic. Really enjoyed that one.
Well, and they've one of their lines, there was two selections that uses the old Misfits like Ghoul Face logo as part of the box. And
right. I have the other one. That's the Fiend.
There's the Fiend and the Misfit. There's two Vitolas, I recall. I got one of them. I don't remember.
One's the Fiend and then there's another one. Yeah.
I'd ask for the box, but I'm pretty sure someone else has already called it.
And probably already has it nailed to the wall in the garage.
Right. Well, she's got Cubans that she could talk trade with. She's got the tank that she mixed or blended. Hadn't had that yet.
Yeah. Ooh, I've got a Strychnine, which is the one that Bethany at Top Leaf blended. And that.
How the hell did you get that?
I know people.
He knows people.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. So, Helena, tell us about the James by Leaf. The Leaf by James.
Yes, I figured it out. Okay, so the Leaf by James. It has a Ecuador Habano broadleaf wrapper with a Nicaraguan filler. Let's see, a Pennsylvania broadleaf also. So it's a Pennsylvania broadleaf wrapper with an Ecuadorian binder and the Nicaraguan filler.
Does your phone actually have a pot leaf on the back of it as the cover?
No.
Am I seeing that?
No.
Put it back up there. Put it back up there.
It's not a pot leaf. Hold on.
Charles, what do you see? Oh, it's palm branches. It's biblical. Well, Smoking Exodus. I mentioned that Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know. So tasting notes, primarily, it has kind of a peppery start and then kind of a coffee, kind of dark chocolate flavor throughout. It was a mm-hmm. kind of a medium bodied cigar. It wasn't yeah. that heavy. But the primary notes were that coffee.
Mm-hmm. It's a good, well-constructed cigar, as I recall. It burned kind of cool, which was nice.
Yeah,
it was still a lot of smoke, though. It's really...
You know, it was crazy, though, because I hadn't smoked for, what, like 7 or 8
40 weeks? Days?
Oh. Yeah.
Not counting
did not fall asleep till like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was so buzzed from nicotine. It was crazy. Like, I mean, you guys saw me. I was turning into a pumpkin. It was time for bed. I went home. I went to bed. I did not sleep for like hours.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah, we were podcasting at Wild Goose. So if you're planning on being at the Goose this year, July 11th,
at 4.
14th,
come hang out with us.
We're that Friday at 4, and we're doing a special session. It's bring your questions. What are your nagging faith-related, theological, I'm escaping toxic church, ex-evangelical recovering questions that you were too afraid to ask your pastor?
Right.
And answered by we're not going to answer them, but you know, we'll commiserate with you at least.
We'll right. explore with you.
Yeah. Or if you have cigar questions, bring those too. We can probably answer better.
Charles, this is perfect for you because not only are you not Christian, but I mean, you're just going to like repeat what they said in the form of a question.
And yeah.
You're like, wow, he's a sage like rabbi.
Exactly.
Total.
Well, just tell a story. Well,
what do you think?
The rabbi said, one day,
I'm just gonna make shit up.
Yeah, no, I'm just gonna moderate.
So follow
you guys on there.
But follow the pillar of fire and smoke.
If the timing works out, we're gonna have Mickey Scott Bay Jones as one of our panelists, and we're recruiting a couple of other people. So we're gonna have some knowledgeable folks there. So a good time should be had by all.
If not, we'll have cigars and hooch. So I mean,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So, Helena, what are you not going to do this year at Wild Goose?
I'm not going to camp in a pack of poison ivy.
Yeah.
That is my only goal for Wild Goose is to get through without
a rash. Without a rash. Mm-hmm.
Charles, we should get a box of wine just so we can slap the bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we should introduce our listeners.
Well, slap the bag.
the home game.
And it is.
The home game.
We'll have to Google that. But that's a great, that should be our hashtag.
Nobody should Google slap the bag. God knows what you're going to get. I can tell you what you're going to get because I Googled it.
Because you did Google it.
Sent you the gifts that I could get away with. The other one's like going, there are some sick motherfuckers in this world.
Yeah. No, but I think that that should be
what?
Our hashtag for our Wild Goose podcast.
Slap the bag.
Hoping to get away without a rash.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was gonna say slap the bag. We may want to sit with that one.
No, yeah. So come to our podcast and hope to get through it without a rash.
Everybody's gonna get laid.
Hey.
Sorry, back to school was on a few nights.
Yeah. So you were talking about disappointing.
No, that was Caddyshack.
People.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's Caddyshack.
Same actor, different movie.
Yeah. So you're talking about people being disappointed. I guess you wanted to say something about Game of Thrones.
Are we going there?
Well, some people are.
So much time, man.
Yeah.
I was okay with it. It seems like
I'm okay with it.
I wasn't like, I was okay with it, like, in terms of storyline. I just, the execution was really lackluster. I was shocked by how, like, not exciting it was.
Yeah,
I mean, it all made logical sense. It all was like faithful, but it was just so not exciting.
Do you like Charles's smarmy quotes back? Told you, called it. Call it. We should ask him. What's the secret of cold fission? Yeah, I got this.
Yeah, I guess.
Wait till the season ends.
No. Did I not say that Daenerys was going to die, and she's going to die at the hand of Jon Snow?
You did.
I did.
You did.
Did I not say? That the like Iron Throne was going to be destroyed.
Yeah, but she said Tyrion was going to do it.
You said Tyrion or Arya was going to be on it.
Yeah, well, I got a Stark on the throne, just I picked the wrong one.
Mm-hmm. But, and the wrong throne.
Yeah. But
right. It was a wheelchair.
The other thing, though, is
right. I thought that, too. It's like, they don't need an iron throne anymore. Right.
The iron wheelchair. I was kind of really hoping for more of a Shakespearean ending, where before she dies, Daenerys just lays total waste to all of Westeros. Everyone's dead. There's utter death and destruction. And the only people left are the two representatives of humanity, the scholar and the soldier. And that's Sam Tarly and Ser Brienne of Tarth. And they would be the only two left, and we get this apocalyptic scene of them standing in the burning rubble of what is left of Westeros, delivering the epilogue on the state of the human condition and humanity.
Who hurt you, Charles?
No, I mean, that's how a Shakespeare tragedy ends.
Some dark stuff there.
I mean, that's the end. Yeah, well, were you not watching the seven previous seasons?
At least it wasn't a scene elsewhere. It's all in Bran's head.
Yeah, although I did see a cute meme that riffed on probably the best series finale ever, which was Newhart. No, no, Newhart.
MASH was good. Sad. But
Newhart was the best. Newhart was the best ending because the final scene was Bob waking up in bed in his apartment in Chicago, turning over to Suzanne Plachet and telling her about what this weird dream he had. So okay. It went all the way back to the Bob Newhart show. And so there's this meme of Ned and Kat Stark, and he wakes up and he goes, "Seven hells, Kat, I just had the weirdest dream."
That would have been cute.
But we really wanted to talk about another show.
Put a sponsor in.
Yeah, let's put a sponsor in, then we'll come back and we're going to talk about another show that we've been enjoying.
We should put it in right now, maybe.
Four Saints Brewing Company. Four Saints pays homage to the patron saints of beer, St. Wenceslas, St. Nicholas, St. Luke, and St. Augustine of Hippo. They've become the most recognized patron saints for brewing and beer because of their contributions to and associations with the world's favorite sudsy beverage. Four Saints founders Joel McCloskey and Andrew Deming are carrying on the brewing tradition in hopes of future sainthood, or at least to make some really good beer. Four Saints Brewing Company, Asheboro, North Carolina. So we're talking about some TV that we like. Netflix. I'd introduced you to a show and thought it would be appropriate for us to talk about it since May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And that's the show Flowers. And the reason that I suggested you guys watch it, and it might be interesting just to chat about for a little bit on the podcast, was, well, it's a well-made show. It's very well done. Great cast. Superb writing. But it's also probably one of the most faithful depictions of mental illness, particularly depression and bipolar, the effects on the individual and on the family that I've seen in popular culture.
Dude, you want like a summary of the show? I'm looking at my IMDb. The eccentric Flowers family are struggling to hold themselves together. Maurice Flowers is the author of the twisted children's books, The Grubs, and his wife, Deborah, are barely together, but yet to divorce. As Maurice fights inner demons and dark secrets, she begins to suspect that Maurice is having a homosexual affair with his Japanese illustrator, Shun. The couple live in creepy, creaky, crumbly old house with Maurice, Dottie mother, Hattie, and their maladjusted twin 25-year-old children, Amy and Donald. And it's a dark comedy, and it is just, you're like really going, laughing at the absurdity, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, that hurts. And not in the funny way, like my ribs and all. It's, you know, for those who've dealt with mental illness, it's like, oh.
I struggled with the labeling of it as a comedy, frankly. I mean, there were moments that were like amusing or possibly funny, but it was like too real. Like they weren't funny. Like it wasn't like this whole family, like my heart just broke like the whole two seasons.
But that was also one of the things I liked, is that the comedy was not based on their mental illness. That part was done, treated seriously. Mm-hmm. The comedy was in the other side stories and the other relationships that they had and things like that.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, so that's the part that was, like, hard for me, is because there were, like, there were the key narratives of mental illness, but then, like, the comedy that existed, like, the entire rest of the show was how that illness and other illnesses, right? Like, there were other characters, you know, like that man who, we can give spoilers, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Totally.
IMDb. I said IMBD, whatever.
Yeah, the man that has the affair with Deborah, like, his wife had drunkenly committed suicide. Like,
yeah.
Right? Like, none of the characters in the show were not impacted by some serious form of mental illness.
Right, including the relationship counselor, who's a total narcissist.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah.
To the point where he has his young lover pretend to be his daughter because it would be bad for his business if people thought he was in a relationship, because he uses his sex appeal as an attractive man to lure his clients.
Yep. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. There's a lot in there. Yeah. No, it's dark in the darkest.
Well, the male sense. Lead, for those that are more internet geeks or Anglophiles, there is Julian Barrett, which I first saw in his in the comedy troupe The Mighty Boosh, which for internet folks, this guy is the other actor in the old Greg's skits, and that is definitely something worth Googling and then going, like, I didn't need to know that existed, and yet hilarious. Mm-hmm. I like slap the bag, don't need to know it exists, but
right, yeah,
just absurd British comedy.
And Deborah is Olivia Colman, who recently won an Academy Award for The Favorite. So
it's a well acted group. I mean, they really sell their characters. And I actually would argue, I think it is a dark comedy, but it, just like mental illness for some people, is how, you know, what is the line from sort of like this, The Sun Also Rises, and it's in a number of books.
Well, and the writer. But
how did you go crazy? Well, all gradually, and then all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So, and it has that kind of, you're laughing, and then, like, it just gets a little more offensive or a little more, I don't know, it just goes in just another direction, and you can just feel this palpable shift emotionally. You feel bad for laughing, and then it's all of a sudden, this is no longer funny.
Well, right. And it's interesting because the writer, right, Will Sharp, who plays mm-hmm. Sean, the show, is bipolar type 2, so he's definitely writing from, like, a very deep, like, personal experience with living with a mental health issue. And I think, you know, I think that comes through in the show, is that it's clearly developed and written and acted by people who seem to understand, like, day-to-day life.
Well, and the one spoiler we won't give you, and Charles gave this spoiler to me, and it actually didn't. It made me want to watch it even more, playing the, well, who is it? I think Helena as well. But there's definitely, there's some potential plot twists that it's definitely worth watching and following.
See, because I wanted to talk about that, but I guess.
Yeah, we can't talk about that.
No, we can't talk about it, because I think that's an important,
we've given people a warning.
Well, okay, so, like, Charles gave us a heads up to expect this, like, major thing, right? So I kept, like, so, and you had said that you hadn't really seen it coming. Like, to me, it was so glaringly obvious that I kept thinking that I must be it must be somebody else, because mm-hmm. it was so obvious to me that he was struggling.
Well, and that's what I was commenting about. We were, the opening of the first episode is, you know, we've got Maurice trying to hang himself out in the orchard. So it starts that way. And then the second to last episode, the last episode is really an epilogue. But so in the penultimate episode, a different character actually does succeed in suicide. And
according to the internet, we don't know that.
Yeah, I'm with you, we don't know that.
When you watch the epilogue, we know that. And
I watched all of it. I don't think so.
Well, I think because, and this is what I thought was was so well done is we are so focused on the family and their struggles that we fail to notice this other character who throughout the entire two seasons is exhibiting every single classic sign and symptom of depression.
Oh yeah.
And it you become complicit in it, and it's about how easy it is to just brush those things off.
Well, you laugh at this character.
Yeah. Or you just
comical. Then it's not.
Yeah, until it's not. And I thought that was one of the most powerful parts of the series is Will Sharpe does such a great job of getting you invested with the family that you fail to recognize the suffering of everybody else. Yeah. You know,
well, and they're also emerging as dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Which the theme of, you know, mental illness is not a vacuum. It affects everybody that's in connection with the person with an illness. It's not a private, despite the stigma that would make people keep it private. No mental illness is.
Right. And again, so I thought it was so powerful because it wasn't just, oh, this is how Maurice is struggling with his depression. It was how that affected every other member of his family, affected the people he worked with, his editors. It touched everybody. And that's what I'm saying, that you as audience member are also then affected by it. And you have to struggle with it. Because this is how someone that you care about.
My salient bits, the bits that were most touching is, for one, there's a priest in it, and she actually behaves pastorally.
Yes.
Yay.
Like, I'm sitting here going, like, oh, God, this family needs a chaplain. Then I'm like, oh, they have one. How the priest role, I mean, she's not your average kind of priest. I mean, I give her that. But but she genuinely cares for these people, and she genuinely is trying to intervene.
Well, I love the scene. Well, she's mainly intervening for Amy because
that's her lover.
That's her lover. They're partners.
But still,
I love the scene where, you know, Amy finally brings her lover to meet her mother, and her mother is shocked. Not that Amy is with another woman; she's fine with that. It's just that this woman is not only older than Amy; she's older than the mother.
Yeah,
and she finds that's what she can't deal with. And when Amy has her psychotic break and disappears, and the priest comes to look for her, and you know, she finally says to Deborah that, you know, I know that you care for her and you don't really approve of us, but I got to find her because I love her, and just you see that just totally break the mom's. Because it was straightforward and honest that, wow, yeah, she really does. She really loves her. And so she agrees to help her find her. And you don't, I mean, it was just a very beautiful little tiny scene there.
Well, and the priest is the only character in the story or in the series thus far that is really open and admits, yeah, I have a mental illness.
Yeah.
Because she's kind of made fun of for being an addict, but she's like, I'm dealing with my shit, which is sort of a foil for a family that seems to work harder and harder with each episode to maintain normality when it's so absurd. Oh. And then, so the other,
but on the other hand, she's really open about her shit, but she also gets into this really intense relationship with Amy, who's clearly like the codependency is still there, you know, like she says she doesn't expect Amy to show up in her life, but I think, you know, at some point, there were questions to ask, like, before Amy had her total break. Like, there were really strong indicators that she wasn't well before then.
Oh, yeah.
She cycled manic during the...
Right. Well, and she and her partner just kind of, like, passes it off as, like, quirkiness or whatever, right? Which I think is another thing, like, we're want to do is...
Yeah, when you love people, let's just...
We ignore these really overt like symptoms because, oh, they're just quirky or they're unusual or they're passionate or whatever. And yeah, they like you can be all those things and also be ill. Like you can have not either or.
Yeah.
So the scene that broke me, I mean shattered, was the mother when, or the role
yeah,
she
Deborah.
She was writing it as a spouse, but writing about her husband's depression. And she's doing the book tour, which is comically, not well attended. And, you know, those that are there asking her questions, that some of them were those kind of like, oh, that's really nice. Thank you for writing this kind of shit. Mm-hmm. But then I think it was one gentleman that comes up and basically says, you don't have the right to tell this story. This is not your story. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen, yeah. Guy. Yes.
Yeah. And the woman whose husband had committed suicide was, you know, then jumps on it also. How dare you? And they confront her about it.
I loved him. I did everything I could for him. I could not save him from this disease. And I'm just,
right.
Well, that was it. I was like ready to text Charles going, you bastard. You didn't tell him it was going to be like this, you know, visceral. No. This.
It is.
Heartaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's what I loved about it. I mean, it was real.
It was real. Yeah.
You know, and like I said, it for me, it was the best depiction because like you had mentioned before, they don't stigmatize the characters. They don't play any of the Hollywood cliches that we get on mental illness, you know, and it's very, very real.
It's messy.
You know, absolutely. And one of the other things that really struck me, like retrospectively thinking about the role of community, right? Like we have a whole cast of characters who are struggling, really legitimately struggling, like throughout the series, but the one person who really, and that's what I kept thinking throughout, like throughout the two seasons, was watching that one character and he was so isolated, like,
yeah.
In the midst, but and like to me, right? So that I always have to, like, what a huge protective factor like community is, like, as irritating and as messy and as wild. And
well, he had no community to go back to,
no, literally. But he also didn't form community where he was, right? Like, they didn't let him in, like, he was always on the outside,
right? That's what I mean. He was like an afterthought, and that's what I'm saying, that as an audience member, he almost becomes that for us.
Yeah. Oh,
and there's some not so subtle racist overtones that are pretty
much.
And
that's part of why he's isolated.
The buffoon. As well.
You know, but I keep thinking about that scene. I'm just going to go ahead and be a little more overt, but where that's he's fine. Telling Maurice about, like, when you take a really big shit, right? And you realize that you can't flush it. Like, you can make it worse, or you can go ask for help, right? Yeah. Like, and I kept thinking, like, I was like, dude, you've taken a really big shit. Like, oh my God. Like, but he never does. Like, that advice, which was so good that he gave to Maurice, like, he never. So, like, you know, in that flashback episode when they ask about his family and he was like, oh yeah, they're fine. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I cried so much. Like, all he needed to do was say, I'm not fine. And I think that they were kind enough and generous enough people that they would have responded to him.
I do.
But, yeah. But
he never says, right?
That we know of. We still could be a season 3.
No, there will not be.
There's not a season.
Yeah, he was, Will Sharp was asked in an interview if there was going to be more episodes or he'd spin off characters or something. And he said no, that he said everything he needed to say with those characters.
Oh, then he's definitely dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
I mean, he may do, I'm sure he'll do other work, but it's not going to be this.
Yeah. So I kept thinking about that too, just how, you know, how much community really impacts your ability to be well, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's one of the points where, you know, what was, you know, you had the priest, but you didn't have a church. You didn't have, you know, a religious.
You had that weird little.
Well, it was interesting because like, it's in an abandoned abbey. An abandoned cathedral is, quote, her church, is Hilda's church. So
where church used to be.
Yeah.
Where community is now, which is far more healthy.
Right.
And necessary.
Yeah. Needed.
Which makes me wonder a little bit about, like, her involvement with the church, like the larger church, right? Like, or if she.
Oh, no. I mean, it's.
Went a little rogue.
When her recovery.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Her finding faith, I think, is maybe was a significant part of it. I think it's kind of a, you know, this saved me. It worked for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's, you know, I've heard that plenty of people I've worked with in chaplain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I may not agree with where they're coming from, but if they're healthy, well, it's not my place to
question
be dismissive
it,
yeah. or insulting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, work for you. Good.
Yeah. I also like how when they finally get a diagnosis for Amy and she's there comforting her and Amy's like, what's my life going to be? I'm broken. I'm this or that. And how do I fix it? She's like, oh, no, you're not broken. And, you know, day at a time.
Yeah. You know,
and I'm here.
Well, yeah. and that is the
that,
only
that was thing. So powerful because yeah, that's it.
But the mentally ill, and when I was mentally ill, let me rephrase that. Let me own that. Is and I've seen it on the other side of it as the chaplain is when you give somebody that response, it's almost insulting to hear it. It's like that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and she
the
and,
challenge
and
is
she follows it up with a little love that. With yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. What are you gonna do for the next 2 hours?
Right, and Amy's like, that's it. She's like, yeah. That's it. That's it. Just going to be you and me one day at a time. And I love you. Highly, highly recommend.
So go ahead. Get,
you know,
go out and watch it.
Steal somebody's Netflix subscription. Again, it's Flowers. It's on Netflix. There's two seasons. There's 12 episodes or about half hour each.
45 minutes. Yeah. It's, I did it in one sitting mainly because I'm like, I'm in. It's like, oh, crushing, and yet so profound. You laugh, you cry, you really go through every emotion that you can imagine, especially if you're someone that has been in relationship with someone with a mental illness and or have dealt with a mental illness yourself.
Mm-hmm. Or both, because usually for most of us,
it's said and or.
I know, but like, you know. Tends to run in families, right?
Which is
another theme in the movie. I mean, in the show, you know, you've got a father with depression. You've got the daughter who is bipolar.
And a man-child son that is clearly something's not clicking.
Something's not clicking there.
Then the grandfather, right?
Say, yeah, the mysterious grandfather who was most likely schizophrenic from the descriptions of his behaviors.
Or type 2 bipolar.
Yeah,
is the other option.
But certainly something, and yeah, that's.
Well, but his whole job was to put on a facade. He's a magician,
right?
Performer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an onion, is what it is. It's got so many layers.
Yeah, well, and that's another theme that runs through the whole movie: is the idea of performance, and putting on the face, and because that all Deborah wants is her family to be quote normal, and she's the one through the first half of the first season. You know, wants to just deny all this stuff until she can't, until she learns about Maurice.
Like, starts with the grandmother, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, how, I don't, what happens with her, you know, like, and then when you find out about her husband, like, of course she's, like, she could have said something, but instead, like, her instinct was to hide.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, she may have had some Alzheimer's or dementia as well, which again is another.
Yeah, but she had all those years with Maurice after her husband left to say something, but they took all his memorabilia and put it up in the attic.
Oh, see, I was under the impression that he also killed himself.
Yeah, but yeah.
Like, because they were talking about that trip. Well, I don't want to give too much away, but that was the impression However,
he ended his relationship with the family. The mother decided never to talk about it or talk about him. And even Maurice pointed that, you know, he doesn't know anything about his father other than he was a magician and one day left.
Right. That's all Maurice knows.
Right. Because his mother would never talk about it.
Stigma and silence is the force field around mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
It gives it life. It protects it, and it fuels it.
Right. So, on a lighter note, words of wisdom.
You could go with, like, you know, Nietzsche's staring at the abyss. And it's still it's what we've been talking about for the last hour or so.
Well, I could, but I just want to quickly verify something before I give you this quote.
I like that he's wearing the Jew and a Gentile, the golf shirt.
That's right.
I don't know if anybody else noticed. I noticed, Charles.
Thank you.
I've got mine somewhere.
I think it's Gilda Radner's birthday.
I don't know.
I believe so.
Okay.
Okay. I think that's why I chose this. So I thought Gilda Radner would be a good person to end with. She says, every time I got disappointed, I'd remember the Rosanna Dana philosophy that says that you shouldn't cry over spilt milk, because if you spill some milk and instead of cleaning it up, you just walk over it and start crying, they're going to put you on lithium.
Well, I'm Chris Henson, and I'm still the Gentile.
And I'm Charles Breton, and I'm still the Jew.
Join us on our next episode, where you can listen to a Jew and a Gentile walk into a bar mitzvah.
Special thanks to Ethan Sapphire for letting us use his song Shoulda Woulda Coulda as our theme. You can download Ethan's music at soundclick.com/Ethan Sapphire. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, but I didn't, that's for real. You can't get back the hand if you didn't like the deal. You made your choices, you gotta live with that. If you learn from your mistakes, you'll get another chance at that.